Hey, my name is Lauren Frieder, and my husband Drew and I are lead pastors at Lift Church. We are on the eastern shore of Maryland. We want to thank you so much for joining us today, and we are believing that you will get a lift of encouragement.
Hey, welcome to our Lift stream. We are so glad that you are here and you've been worshiping with us, or if you just found us in the middle of our stream, we are glad you're here. If this is your first time with Lift Church and on our stream, hey, welcome home. We hope if you don't have a church home, you'll consider just worshiping with us. We're doing it online for a little while longer, and then we'll be regathering in person live very shortly. And I cannot wait to jump into this series, but first I want to just let you know what it looks like as far as jumping back into live experiences. Many have asked, and as we know, the governor, the mayor, the president, they're all trying to update us as often as they can. And things seem to change every single day on the phases and the reopening. Here's what we're doing at Lift. You're obviously on our Sunday morning experience. Tonight at 5 p.m. is a cool opportunity. We're calling it an evening at the amphitheater where you can come out to the middle of Salisbury, hang with us. It'll be our first time in-person gathering. It's at 5 p.m. Bring your own chairs. Bring your own picnic if you want. Bring your own mask. Bring your own praise. It's just going to be cool. If it rains, we've already scheduled to do a rain contingency next week if we have to. But right now, as of this recording, the weather looks good. So join us at 5 p.m. tonight. It's going to be a great time to just come out. You could social distance as much as you are comfortable with, but we will social distance up to 6 feet. And it'll just be a great opportunity to see each other again, and we hope you'll come. Next Sunday on the 7th, we'll be right here on live stream again at 8:30 a.m. and 10:15 a.m. The week after that, on the 14th, we are trying to have an outdoor live experience if it works out. We've been investing in some gear, trying to get things better so that when we have a live experience, anyone who cannot come out or should not come out will feel safe at home with an awesome experience. What we don't want to do is abandon anyone who can meet live or abandon anyone who needs to stay home with some sort of subpar experience. We want to think about everyone. So we're getting close, and we believe on the 14th we might be able to meet live. On the 21st, we're pretty sure we'll be able to meet live, outdoor, in front of the Regal. We're working on plans now. That's Father's Day too. We might grill up some burgers. And then finally, on the 28th, Regal believes that they can open their doors that weekend if the timelines hold and government officials. So it's dependent on all that, but we might be in business getting back together on the 28th. And don't worry, if you are uncomfortable coming inside for an experience, we will be live streaming in a quality way that we believe God will still touch you. Okay? So I just wanted to get that out of the way so that everyone knows what the timeline looks like as we approach a regathering. Thank you for your patience. There's some who are scared to come out, and there's some who's like, let's get out yesterday. And I just want to thank every single person for their patience. We're considering everyone, and so we're going to do this together. Now, I can't wait to jump into opportunity, so let's do it. You know, we've subtitled this one, Making the Most of Every Opportunity. And so we are going to talk about some different opportunities that we can have throughout our life, different situations. Some will seem more like obstacles than opportunities, but this much I know about God. With God, any obstacle can become an opportunity. I hope you already are taking notes. I hope you're already ready to write this stuff down, because I am pumped about this series. See, every obstacle with God is an opportunity. And so I'm going to share a hero in every single situation, maybe an Old Testament, maybe a New Testament hero, to help us understand how do we navigate every opportunity for the glory of God. And that's what we're going to do. We're going to discuss faith opportunities, scary opportunities, challenging opportunities, tempting opportunities, and I can't wait to the last one, golden opportunities. I want to see young people and old people, every kind of person, left-handed people and right-handed people, step up into the golden opportunities. I believe God brings along our journeys, and I want you to seize your moment. So today, we're going to start with the first one, and I'm calling it the impossible obstacle. Come on, let's pray. God, we thank you so much for who you are. We thank you that you are in control. We thank you that you're meeting with us even while we meet in our homes. We thank you for our house parties where people are gathering together to watch together. We thank you that we're going to get to gather later tonight and praise you, God. We thank you that you have carried us through this. We thank you that you are on the throne. No matter what we go through, you are in control. We thank you that you're over every single mental challenge, every single dependency we have. I thank you, God, that you're in control over it all. And I pray that you speak to us through your word that never fails and always speaks life. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, come on, get ready to get back in person and give me a good churchy amen. Come on. I hear it. I hear it. If not, I hope you're chatting it up on the dialogue with Facebook. So anyway, dialogue's not the right word, but you got me. So let's jump into this. The impossible obstacle. You know, every single one of us in life are going to come across some sort of impossible obstacle. In fact, it happens so frequently in our lives that we, in our human nature, no matter where you are in the globe, we've come up with different ways of addressing the impossible obstacles with weird idioms because we just don't want to call it impossible. It just happens too frequently. We say things like, yeah, a fat chance, right? We say, when hell freezes over, we say, don't hold your breath. I wouldn't hold your breath on that one. We say things like, not in a million years. And then we tend to bring animals into equation. And we say, when pigs fly. Why am I thinking about pigs and flying? Because we know it's impossible. But you know what? It's not just our culture. Every culture has its own expression for saying that something's impossible. The Chinese say this, when the sun rises in the west. Because we know the sun always rises in the east. It ain't going to happen. You know, the French say this, on the week of the four Thursdays, that will happen. Because we know there's only one Thursday a week, and it ain't going to happen with four Thursdays. Check out what the Afrikaans dialect says this. When horses grow horns. Come on, my girls probably like that. They're big into unicorns right now, my two little ones, right? And then the Italians say this. When donkeys fly. It seems to me that we have some sort of obsession with animals flying, whether it's pigs flying or donkeys flying, or we seem to have an obsession with animals doing something they shouldn't. So I just decided to make up my own idiom based on that. And y'all know I'm a Cajun from Louisiana. So I chose this one. When the crawfish whistles on the mountain. You think it's bizarre? Actually, I took that from the Ukrainians. That's their term for, that's impossible. When the crawfish whistle on the mountains, come on, who's going to use that with me from now on, right? Well, I hope you'll re-preach this message to one of your friends and you tell them that. I'm telling you what, when the crawfish whistles on the mountain, that'll happen when pigs fly. See, we all run into impossible obstacles in life. It can be the verdict, the diagnosis, the summons, or the sentence. It could be the declaration. It could be the virus. It could be the political climate. It could be the culture. Don't we all run all too frequently into what is seemingly impossible obstacles? And what does God want to tell us about these impossible obstacles? Well, all too often, the devil, the enemy, uses this to talk and ask and stir up questions about God. Things like, are there some things that are even impossible for God to do? Or is there even a God? Is he a good God? Why would a God that even exists do things like this? This is an impossible situation. Is God real? See, often the impossible obstacle becomes an opportunity for the enemy. But oh, I'm here to tell you today. Come on, you heard the singing in my voice. Oh, I'm here to tell you today. Listen, the obstacle can be an opportunity for God. Oh, I get excited about this, and I hope you get this down in your soul. See, have you ever thought about this? Having no opportunity. That's today's subject. When you feel like you've got no opportunity, have you ever thought that that might be the exact opportunity God wanted? I mean, think about this. I know for me, if there's some way for me to fix it, I have a habit of going out and fixing it. But God sometimes relishes the impossible obstacle because guess what? I can't take any ownership over the victory should a victory come. Let's think about Lazarus, okay? Lazarus, Jesus was told, Lazarus, your friend, he's dying. Why don't you come and heal him? Jesus hangs out with his boys like another couple days. And they're like, what are we doing? And he was like, has it been a few days? He's probably dead by now. Now we're going to go check him out. They say, well, let's go die with Jesus. I mean, this ain't going to go well. But guess what? Jesus was there was a slim opportunity for Lazarus to be healed if Jesus went right away. But once he's dead and in the grave, there ain't no opportunity. For some of you, that was a double negative. And let me say that again. There's no chance for anything to happen. He's dead and in the grave. But that's the opportunity that Jesus wanted. No opportunity whatsoever so that he could address when there's no opportunity, there's still a chance for a God opportunity. And I want you to believe it. See, listen, in fact, no opportunity is the perfect opportunity for a God opportunity. I'm gonna say that again. When there's no opportunity, it's actually the perfect opportunity for a God opportunity because you and me can't take credit for it. This one's on God. Anybody ever had a no opportunity turn into a God miracle? Come on, I've had two or three in my life. Come on, raise your hand. Go ahead and testify on the chat bar right now. God can do it and he can do it again. See, to most, this is an obstacle, but to every obstacle, it's still an opportunity for God. One more example. Jesus comes across a blind man. The people say, why is he blind? Who sinned? His mama, his daddy, or did he sin? And Jesus said this, neither of them sinned. For here's the reason that this has happened. This impossible obstacle. No doctor has been able to heal him. You want to know why? Because it's my opportunity to show you the miraculous hand of God. I wanted to show you just how good God can be. So this is good news in the wake of impossible obstacles that should give hope to anyone who feels overlooked, misunderstood, falsely accused, anyone who feels weak, sick, back up against the wall, no way out, anyone who's ever said, it's over. You might as well hang it up. It's over. Stonewalled, profiled. It ain't going nowhere. And I want to tell you this. It ain't over till God says it's over. Come on. I want to tell you a story. We're going to look at Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. I told you I'd give you a hero every single week. I'm actually lied. I'm going to give you three today, all right? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they go together. They're boys. And in Daniel chapter 3, I hope you'll get your Bible out right now. If you're not already watching on a device that has your Bible, pull out a second device and pull out a smartphone, or better yet, get your paperback, leather-bound out and open up to the book of Daniel chapter 3, because I want to give you some hope today if you ever come across an impossible obstacle. It says this, Daniel 3, chapter 3, verses 10 through 12. Setting it up a little bit. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Now, these are three guys who came along with Daniel from Israel. Israel was God's chosen people, but they quit worshiping God, and things went downhill for their culture and for their people. Now, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, these guys, along with Daniel, had decided, we will not worship anyone except God. However, we will do all that we can to help the Babylonian culture prosper, because God gave us some gifts, and we're going to use it. And God gave them permission to use these gifts. Now, check this out. They moved up the ranks. They became some of the wisest men in the culture. And some people hated that they were getting favor and they were and the others were not. And so they set up to blackmail them. They set up to stonewall these guys. And so some astrologers said to King Nebuchadnezzar, I'm picking up in verse 10, you issued a decree that we helped you draft that anyone who doesn't worship your idol, they got to die. See, you issued a decree requiring, listen to that word, requiring all the people to bow down and worship the gold statue when you hear the sound of the musical instruments. This is a black and white issue. There's no gray area is what I'm saying. The word required means you're either right or you're either wrong. And if you're right, it'll go well for you. And if you're wrong, you die, right? No gray area whatsoever. They said that whenever you hear the sound of the horn, the flute, the zither, somebody say zither, the lyre, the harp, the pipes, and other musical instruments. That decree also states that those who refuse to obey must be thrown into the blazing furnace. But there are some Jews, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they refuse to serve your gods and do not worship the gold statue you set up for them. King Nebuchadnezzar, can you believe they ignored the pipes and the zither? They heard the zither, and they did nothing about it. They didn't even worship. They didn't bow down. They ignored the zither. The audacity of people who ignore the zither. And, you know, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego are brought before the king. They have no way out. Their back's against the wall. Either you recant or you die. This is an impossible obstacle. Like, life's over, back up against the wall, no way out, impossible odds, no opportunity. Now check this out, how do you respond? Do you recant? Do I cut my losses and say, hey, witnessed enough, made my statement, yes, I recant now. You know, do you continue to trust God? Even though the highest authority in the land says it's over for you, do you continue to trust God? It might be your boss. It might be someone you looked up to. It might be a parent. It might be someone who is a mentor and they hurt you deeply because they said, that ain't happening for you. I can remember someone speaking into my life almost a death sentence. They said, who do you think you are? You'll never amount to that. And it was kind of like, well, I guess I got no opportunity. Not if I believe in him. This was their choice. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Their choice should guide us through every impossible obstacle. Here's what they responded. Verse 17. If we are thrown into the blazing furnace, the God whom we serve is able to save us. He will rescue us from your power, your majesty. But even if he doesn't, we want to make it clear that we will never serve your gods or worship the golden statue. Here's the declaration they made, and I want you to repeat this after I say this. God will, but if not, we will never stop believing. Say that with me. God will, but if not, we will never stop believing. One more time. God will, but if not, we will never stop believing. Don't stop believing. So what do I do? If you encounter an impossible obstacle, it's a God opportunity. How do I respond? I want to give you three quick things to respond. Number one, eliminate. And some of you just said, amen. Eliminate the enemy. Get rid of him. Cut his head off. Cut him down. That's not what I meant. This is what I meant. Eliminate the thought in your mind that I could recant my faith, step away from faith. Like, decide in your mind that the option to walk away from God, I've eliminated it. It's kind of like two married people saying, the word divorce doesn't exist in our vocabulary. We're eliminating the option to walk away from this thing. You got to do that too with God. Eliminate the option to walk away from God. That's what Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego did. They said, check it out. Even if this doesn't work out, we will never stop worshiping our God, to begin to worship you. You know, I think about Stephen in the book of Acts 6 and 7. He's one of the first evangelists after Jesus has died to just stand up and take a bold declaration for Jesus. Now, when you're in an impossible obstacle, will it always work out? Like, does God always answer in the way we expect him to? And the answer when we look at Stephen is no. I mean, Stephen witnesses, tells them, Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. You killed him. And they said, we're stoning and killing you. And you know what? He lost his life. But you know what Stephen's declaration was in the middle of it? He was saying this, I am not going to step back. I will not deny my faith to get out of an impossible obstacle. Even if this gets tough for me, even if I lose my life, I will not deny my faith in my Father above. And you know what? The impossible obstacle was actually an opportunity for God to witness. This guy believed so strongly he was willing to lose his life and ask God's forgiveness as he lost his life. Do you see that sometimes, when there's no opportunity, there's still a God opportunity? Maybe it's just not in the way we thought it was going to come. See, check it out. I know COVID is hard. I understand it's difficult on a lot of people's minds, relationships, wallets, bank accounts, just jobs, connections, feeling alone. Maybe struggling with dependencies on drugs, alcohol, and getting too deep into those things. I know it's hard, but we make a determination. I have decided I will not walk away from my faith, no matter how hard it gets. I understand that things are difficult, and I understand, like Stephen, this could get worse, and I understand, like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, but one thing I've decided, I've eliminated the option to walk away from God. That's the first step. Eliminate the option. When the going gets tough, what do they say? The tough get going. We got to decide to have some tough grit in our faith that we've said, my faith will hold strong. The anchor will prevail. The anchor will hold. In other words, our faith isn't based on what God does. Our faith is based on who God is. I hope you'll write that down. My faith is not based on what God does, whether it gets me out or not. My faith is based on who God is. So number one, eliminate. Number two, trust. No matter what, I choose to trust. God is good. I don't care if this goes well for me. I don't care if this tanks for me. I trust God is good. When it seems like he's not answering my prayers, when it seems like he's ignoring my requests, when it seems like other people are getting ahead who are more worse off than me, and sinners and heathens, they're getting ahead. When it seems like things are going down, I am going to, number two, trust. God is good all the time and all the time. God is good. God is not good because he just did something for me lately. God is good because God is good. He sent his son Jesus to die for our sins. The next time you struggle with trust, I want you to think about SMA, baby. No, not the sexiest man alive. That's just what my wife texts me. You know, she's like, hey, you look good today, SMA, right? No. SMA this, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Remind yourself of that. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. How did they respond to an impossible obstacle? This was what they said. God will, but if not, we will never stop believing. Don't stop believing. It's not an either or situation. It's a both and. It's not a either God busts me out of this situation or he's not good. No, it's a God can bust me out of this situation. And if he doesn't, God is still good. It's not either or. God's goodness is not conditional. It isn't based on whether you got ahead or not. It isn't based on whether you continue to be stonewalled or not. Guess what? Like Stephen, you might not get past some impossible obstacles. But what I want to tell you today is some obstacles are just God opportunities. You are going to make it past some obstacles if you walk close with God and you keep on believing. God will, but if not, we will never stop believing. Number three, first we eliminate the option to walk away. Number two, we trust, no matter what, that he is good. And number three, believe. believe anything's possible. This is what gets me excited, because sometimes we all too often hear the terrible news and go, that's it, life's over. She broke up with me. Might as well end it all now. I'll never find someone as good as him. Everything's done. The virus is here. It's all over. And listen, I'm not minimizing these things. I was having a little bit of fun with relationships, but many of us have thought that way, right? I'll never find another one just like this. Listen, when you come to an impossible obstacle, can I encourage you this? It ain't over until God says it's over. Listen, one definition of faith is this: the ability to see possibilities where others see impossibilities. Come on, let me say it again. One definition of faith is the ability to see possibilities when everyone else sees impossibilities. We need to be people of faith who decide he's done it before, he can do it again. Sometimes we just slip those into worship songs to remind ourselves, if he'd done it before, he'll do it again. Come on, do it again. Do it again. Psalm 77, I got so jacked when I saw this the other day. It got my faith pumped up, and I want to give you some hope with it. It says this, Psalm 77, when the Red Sea saw you, O God, you remember when Moses' people were trying to leave? When the Red Sea, the barrier, the impossibility, when it saw you, O God, its waters looked and trembled. Listen, the sea quaked to its very depths. That's impossible. The sea can't quake and shatter in fear. How could that be? Guess what? Your road through the sea, your pathway through the mighty waters, underline this next part, were a pathway no one knew was there. Oh, can I talk to you, people of faith? Sometimes you don't see any other way, but can I encourage you? There's a pathway no one knew was there, including you and me. We're going to hold on believing that God's not done yet. Listen, if he doesn't move, that's okay. I will not recant. I will continue to worship God even if I lose my life. But this much I know, it ain't over because you said it's over. It's over when God says it's over. When our backs up are against a river, he can make a pathway, a road of deliverance no one saw was there. Did a miracle. Change the scope of the situation. This is all throughout the Bible, that this is the God that we serve. Check it out. Hannah was told, you're infertile. You're never going to have kids. Guess what? She had kids. So did Sarah. So did many others, right? So did Elizabeth. Elijah, he raised a dead child by laying chest to chest, mouth to mouth over him. Everyone says, ooh, that's weird. That's different. I agree. Guess what? It happened. God raised someone from the dead. Eutychus, come on. One of the prophets, I think it was Peter. It might have been Paul. I think it was Peter. He was preaching one day, and Eutychus is just hanging out in the window. He falls out of the two-story, three-story window, dies on the ground. Everyone's like, he dead from listening to a sermon. I know you ain't dying listening to this. Come on, shout me down if you're enjoying this and not falling asleep. If someone's falling asleep, wake them up right now. Give them the holy shoulder, the holy elbow. Like, come on, get up. Listen. Eutychus died, and guess what? The apostle went down, rose him up from the dead too. The impossible obstacles are surmountable. Listen, Jesus with Legion is one of my favorite. The whole society wrote this guy off. You are a fear to society. You are an outcast. We are putting you in the cemeteries. And because he had legions of demons, Jesus said, what others spoke over you, it ends today. In the name of Jesus, I deliver you from the demons. And guess what? The social paralysis, the man with social paralysis, became the one who evangelized Decapolis. 10 cities. That's not 10. That's 10. 10 cities he went on to preach to. When everyone said, you're nobody, you're a waste to society, stay out on the fringes. You ain't got no opportunity in life. God said, I'm going to turn you into the one who goes and preaches to more cities than most others documented in the New Testament. See, write this down. God will, but if not, we will never stop believing. Don't stop believing. You know, a few years back, I had some people I looked up to. They let me know that I was in an impossible situation. There was no hope, and I had to utilize, my wife and I had to choose to utilize all three of these weapons. Number one, we will eliminate the option to walk away from God. Well, that's it. God's not good. If God's going to stop us here and become an obstacle, God's not good. Nope. Tool number one, we eliminated the option to walk away. Number two, we trust God is good. I don't get it. We're in a difficult situation. We might even suffer for a little bit, but this much I know is true. God's good, and he's got a plan. We don't know it yet. I don't know how many months or years it's going to take to understand it, but God is up to something. We trust it. And then number three, we had to decide that I'm going to believe that the impossible is surmountable by the God who is full of possibilities. Guess what? Today, what you see today is a result of these three tools worked in our life. And they can work in your life too. Listen, is this right now the devil's playground? COVID, viruses, losses of jobs, loss of income, relational tension, marriages at the brink of disaster, racial divides. I think this feels like devil's playground. Or is it a God opportunity to show off that love is the way? If we follow him, the insurmountable is surmountable in God. Sometimes in the climate we're in today, it feels like an impossible obstacle. And I'm here to tell you that the first opportunity is understanding that no matter what, every obstacle is still an opportunity for God. Are you in an impossible obstacle right now? Eliminate, trust, believe. God will, but if not, we will not stop believing. What's the result of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? This should give you hope. Two things happened. The first one was this. There was another in the fire. There was another in the fire standing next to them. Jesus showed up and did an amazing work. See, Jesus can still show up in your fire. Number two, all the doubters in the room started praising God. Because guess what? Sometimes no opportunity is the perfect opportunity for God opportunity. Now the people who denounced God and their faith started saying, there's something to your God, and I want to get to know him. I want to encourage you, if you're an impossible obstacle, God's not over. He's not done yet. Let's pray. God, some of our friends watching, they're an impossible obstacles. Things that society brings, that viruses bring, that relationships bring, that bosses bring, that, I don't know, they come from everywhere, seemingly impossible obstacles. And God, this is what I'm praying right now, that Holy Spirit, you would flow into the middle of every single person watching right now, that you would minister to every single obstacle and turn it into a God opportunity. Father, most importantly, I pray that when they respond to this, that they decide to have that grit that says, I'm eliminating any option to walk away. Things aren't good right now. I'm admitting that, but God is still good, and I trust him. He knows how to make all things work together for the good of those who love him. Father, I pray for that kind of grit and that kind of faith to rise up in us to help us sustain and surmount any sort of obstacle that comes our way. Let no weapon formed against us prosper in the name of Jesus Christ. Every single household I pray over right now, that the enemy would get off. That's holy ground. Declare it right now over your ground, where you're seated, over your house, over your doorpost. This is holy ground. This will be God's place, whether it looks like it's going well or not. We believe. We believe. And let it spark up hope. Let hope rise up in the name of Jesus. And I want to speak before I close Some of you right now, you feel like, well, you want to talk about impossibilities. Maybe you would agree with what I did. I felt like in the year 2002, I remember hearing the goodness of God, and I thought, you want to talk about impossibilities. It's impossible for a good God like that to look past the stupid things I've done. The sin, the shame, the guilt, it's real. And if I were God, I'd write me off. If I were God, I would assume I'm done. I'm too far gone. And I want to tell you today, if you think that you are too far gone, God and the Holy Spirit got you on the right feed, because I'm here to tell you, you are not too far gone. There is another in your fire right now. As the world's shaking, as the enemy tries to tell you that you're not worth anything, right now God has sent me to tell you this. He's in love with you. There is hope, and His name is Jesus. You don't have enough in you to fix it, but guess what? Jesus would face the impossibility of all impossibilities. He was dead and put in a grave. They said, "You're done. It's over." And guess what? The impossible became possible. He rose out of that grave to tell you and I this: if He can do that, He can handle this. You're not too far gone. He's calling you right now to lay down the way you've been walking, change your direction, and begin to follow Him. You can do that with a simple prayer. I remember when I prayed it, it changed my life. And I want to ask you to pray this with me. Just pray, "Jesus, I'm sorry for my sins. I'm sorry for the mistakes that I have made. I have fallen short of who You called me to be. I have sinned and messed up too many times. I'm not deserving of Your grace, but You said I could have it. You sent Your Son Jesus, and I want to thank You that He died in my place. He took the penalty of my sin so that I could be free. I want to tell You how much I love You, and I receive You in my heart right now. Be my Lord and my Savior, and take over. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen." You want to talk about an obstacle becoming an opportunity? You've got the opportunity to walk in the grace and the goodness of God, knowing you are right with Him. And should something happen to you today, you get to walk right into heaven and hear Him say, "Well done, my good and faithful servant. But I haven't lived very long doing the right thing." He says, "It's all wiped under the blood. It's in the past. Come and be with me in paradise. You just made the best decision." Let us know about it. Text us, "Lift Decision," to the number 94,000. It's on your screen. Thanks for joining us for Opportunities Week 2 is coming.